Tonight, the thing is, I said I'd sing a song. Wow. It would be appropriate. I haven't planned it yet. He sat within the barley green. I sat me with my true love. My sad heart strove the truth between the old love and the new love. The old hymn, the new that made me think of Ireland dearly. While soft the wind blow down the plain, as softens your violin. 'Twas hard those woeful words to frame that break the ties that bound us, but harder still to bear the shame of foreign chains around us. So I said the mountain glen, I'll meet that morning early, and join those bold united men as soft winds shook the barley. 'Twas sad I kissed away his tears, my arms to comfort and hold him, as a full moon shone us down our rears from out the wild woods ringing. A bullet pierced my true love's side in life young spring so early. With broken heart when near I hear the soft wind shook the barley. But blood for blood, without remorse, I've taken to his hollow. I've laid my true love's clay-like corpse where I fall soon must follow. Around his grave I wander drear, and night and morning early. With broken heart, when near I hear the softened shake the barley.
Your mom goes forward. Anyone
that knows that song, I apologize for the mixing up of all the words. Okay. 1A. Rendon. Tintasana.
Yeah. The following fall to occur the Macara, Gabriel knows the stop as well. Yes, sir, called the Gabriel, Quig of Leon O'Hin, a clash to Corrigan Tupper, and he was a pain for the Dean every Sunday. He confronted him, challenged him, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And here he is now. Hard to believe he's now a man. And he's still at it. Walter Reach, Brown Dollars on a Coast and a Dumb. I'm a dreamer too, but not a poet. I tried one time to make a poem, but I've mostly forgotten. Anyway, I'll start. Last night I had a nightmare, I dreamt of air and free. Oh, but how the banks have robbed both you and me. With Connolly Pierce and all them fought, our new flag did bravely fly. But why did 1 million starve to death and 1 million die? For what died the Rose of Roisin? 1 million dead. Now the banks have replaced the oppressor. I have been in this journey for many years. The park on the Grand Parade was part of my mad dream. I was housing homeless mothers and children and alcoholics, and the Bank of Ireland were charging me 19% plus a further 5%. It was, the group was Christians Respond, and then I changed the Bank Victims Network and exposed what they were doing. Legislation was passed, and you see the Dormant Accounts Act 2002, I think it was, and the dirty rotten bastards had to pay 300 million. There are, I reckon, 300 or 400 million still in the dormant accounts, but the banks have it retained in their system. I think we should write to Micheál O'Higgins and ask him to retrieve it for us. And that would help some of the victims of these oppressors. So we have a new oppressor. I think, ladies and gentlemen, that if we had a new currency equal to the euro, but with no interest on it, equal and exchangeable on par, this might be highfalutin stuff to you, but it will win the day, because they wouldn't be getting interest on their dirty money, and we could spread this system all over the world like we spread our dreams. So, Sinead, let's get at it. And another little campaign of mine at the moment is Cúpla Focal Gach Ba. Now, me a Cúpla Focal Ará, a Gach Dina Cach Law, I think we'd achieve a lot. So perhaps some of you might start slogans and put them in the window, Cúpla Focal Gach Law, and spread Cúpla Focal Gach Law. Cremina Margot.
I think there was something in the water. And how are you?
Very much.
I'm Kate Annamella, or Miss Tamoshine, Shane Bowen, I presume. But there's something written here, I'm not really sure. It looks like 6 p.m. Mike. That makes sense for anyone. Okay. Shane?
Hello?
I don't whisper. This isn't a happy poem. Well, it's not. Anyway, it's fine. This is a poem that is coming out in the next Brain of Forgetting, which is kind of cool. That's Brain that McCarthy's thing. It's pretty awesome. And it's, I don't really write about nationhood or Ireland and all that. It's not really something that I do. But her theme was Ireland, and it got me thinking. So both my parents are English, but if you ask my dad, he'd say he's Irish. I'm Irish, but for a long time, if you asked me, I would have said I was English. So it's this kind of thing about the two islands and what they represent. So this is, I come from the islands. I was brought into this place on one island, then brought to another. Later, I was brought back to the island where I was brought into this place. Now, when people ask, where's that accent come? I say, it comes from the islands. And when they ask, which island? I say yes.
Thanks, Shane. Next up is Philip.
So I'm going to read the same poem as I did last week because I read it out too fast, apparently. So, really what I'm trying to say is about logic, because I'm actually kind of afraid that logic is going to replace creativity and poetry in the future, and it's happening really slowly, it's corroding into creativity, and it's kind of frightening. So I'm trying to combat it with this poem. Where logic should lie in the arts. Nothing makes a fox silent. When the apple grows faces and start thinking like humans do. When the juice scalp of the fruit houses the brain instead of the ivory tanned sponge with apple juice. Cancer is as well a corrosive to the intelligence of logic. When the creature that's supposed to be cunning, clever, scheming, ginger, dreadlocked, and right-breasted gets battered in the head by an apple. Thank you.
Next up, Mary Connolly. A slight change from the nationalistic favour. Paris, Brussels, now Lahore. So I imagined an ordinary Muslim woman trying to make some sense of this and trying to do her own practice while all of this is going on. So this is what came out. It's called Prostrate. The muezzin's cry calls you out of sleep. You wear a cloth that cancels all your curves. Walk to the mosque to find your place behind the latticed screen. Supplicate heaven to send no more distress. The belts of gelignite that rock the square. Fragmented symbols rising in the heat. The prophet's message twisted in the sand.
For Margaret Mary, Patricia Walsh.
Thank you. This is about taking history to another level, really. Archaeology, I should say. Like, now the weather we have today, and Hurricane Katie, most people, like, would hate weather like that. But in archaeological circles, this weather must be welcome because you get to sit in the cabin and do no work and just shoot rain all the time. So this is called Rain Stop Play. I could walk for miles and miles across the perimeter of a slow holocaust, the earth betraying around culture, keeping seconds from the unwary. The minute raindrops dance in our cheeks, signaling abandonment, forever welcome, a chance to play cards and shoot the breeze, marking destruction in the tea. Kneeling in dirt, debunking ditch forms, mastering anomalies where intended. Modern features go recognized slowly, gains a chance with soil ring back. Assaulted teacups, lined for action, not large enough for an extended brunch. Delayed rain immunizing against the rock hard sun, washing down a work in progress. The council drops by, flurry to attention, the unwilling comrades desert the cabin. Khaki and history, the tale of one event, swept aside for posterity, resurrected now. Destroyed by measure, by gods of progress. Bypasses the motorway are dropping slow. Enough to smoke a cigarette in lighter measure. On the perimeter of a story realised. Thank you.
From Malcolm Patricia. Next up, and I think this man deserves a big round of applause, John. It's his first night here and he's coming up to the open mic. Fair play, John.
I think a bit of credit to the Dutch courage I've just handed down. I've only started writing poetry recently, and it was a rook prompted me. He was shouting from the top of the tree, really raucous. Anyhow, so my second poem is called Reflections. So I beg your understanding, as I say, it's my second poem. So mirror, mirror on the wall, sweetest siren, strident call. Image peering, we all embrace. Peeking, seeking, beauty embrace. Or shadows in the valleys on the surface of the face. Truth or dare, behold the stare of time topped on the painted glass. Siphon light in streams and beams to iris circled, pupil black. No soul to see in eyes reflected back. Thank you.
So there will be two of them actually, a short one and a slightly longer one. The first one is called Realization of Lost Thirty Thunder. When the fury of emotion tears through the sky of thoughts, the windows of soul will be the flood drains for the shower that rains down in the brain, unstoppable, compelling, sovereign. The second one is inspired by the recent events and sort of pressing matters of immigration and climate change and wars. It doesn't have a title yet. It reeks pollution to the mind, smoke of burning intelligence. It is blinding, choking. They cough, gasp, those voices. They plead for a solution, final maybe. Express the pain of the heat of a fire they stoke. And their sound is now the haze that destroys them and others. Spread the hatred and its hellfire. The homogeneity of conscious. Of the Homo sapiens, even free speech arson started by fears because self-consciousness is a myth. It reeks, it burns, the air is consumed away. So many joys and opportunities will be cooked back to black. Will everything turn dark? Before that happened, remember the phrase, think of the children. Take a deep breath and hold it. Don't kindle the blaze. It will blow over. The scorch sparing no one. No time will be then to breathe out a soothing chill. Clear the sky, resound their voices. Offer the second wind they desperately need. When the heat has died down, the smoke faded, because there is no fire without heat. I know it reeks, but it won't always be ready.
Just like to do a little short story called Following Orders, and if I could, I'd just like to dedicate it to Dennis Belan. He's a local artist, better known as Sue, and he's very, very ill in hospital at the moment. He's the last of his family, so we school together and neighbour together, so it's for him. He stood statue still, just outside of the forest bounds and within the shade of its perimeter trees. The clear blue of the early evening autumnal sky held the liquid sun low down within its vaulted vastness. This watery lozenge took the focus of his bright green lifeless eyes out over and above the quilt of verdant fields that stretched proverbially in slight ascent to where they married that azure skyline and became horizon. Distantly he perceived the peering rooftops of a large village that appeared to his keen vision to be sunk in a deep veil, hiding the rigid bodies of the south-facing olden buildings. This commune was situated to the right of where he stood. From newly lit fires, dark serpentine flows of smoke spiraled out of terracotta chimney pots, their snake-like motion caused by gentling breeze pockets. These soughing winsome whiffs shook the out-of-forest trees, standing tall and distinguished-looking, like very important personages awaiting introductions to other more self-important personages of royal or presidential issue. In time, these giant wooden probsters would, in truth, be stripped bare of all their finery and pseudonymous imagery by Mother Nature's whimsicalities for all the world to see. Neither birdsong nor songs of foraging animals emanated from the woodland realm where silence, that king of all emotions, reigned supreme, the result of avian life having quitted its kingdom's depths and borders upon sensing human presence. Likewise, the animals in residence, hiding above and below the tranquil terrain, as if to say, how wise we done. Playing children and their high-pitched happy squeals, interspersed with hurtful cries, reached the man's ever-attentive ears, informing him that boys were participating, most likely at a game of ball, while singing girls voiced lilting rhymes about the placid scene set there out by nymphs. Their mothers, he guessed, would be occupied in busyness by the preparatory duties of the evening meal, willingly gotten ready for their hungry and hard-working menfolk. These crofters would themselves be engaged with their elder siblings tending to their fields that permeated the thriving hamlet, the herds and flocks that grazed thereon, or within their farmyards situated about the palace. School-going children he imagined studiously at their homework, which, when completed, would grant them freedom from the despoiling responsibilities of adulthood after they had partaken of their dinner. But whatever these rustics were actually doing, his experience of their rusticity taught him that they always busied themselves with some activity. He stood statue still just outside of the village bounds. The clear dark sky of the late autumnal evening held Venus bright aloft in its deep blue sea, as she lovingly guided the argent moon about its early orbit, taking the man's feline focus along with that shiny pearl about the hemisphere, where his gaze followed the Daphnian beam of silver downward to where it met with the outlying man-made lights of restive homes and other structures dotting the dark-veiled netherlands of his world. No sound but silent stillness emanated from that unknown place. But soon, very, very soon, and this he knew from vast experience, whatever lived therein, he and his trusty troops would obliterate all, just as they had done in the previous village that afternoon. There, lifeless bodies of all life lay strewn pell-mell about its narrow streets, along its wide roads and within its houses, now standing idiot-like in their emptiness, bereft of life, no longer homes, and over the farmlands, all silenced by their silent storms. Thank you.
Michal's gonna join me. Michal Weber. Next up on the open mic is Michal Weber. He makes these dumb sessions. No, if you go to the Paul McMargie on Thursday, you hear really good sounds like
welcome.
That. How's that going? So yeah, we're on that bill as well. So if you want to come along, you actually see us and somebody. And somebody else will have it. In the roundy at 9 o'clock on Thursday. Live words. This is called... Years of living the simplest of lives, when personal achievement was all that was at stake, I put it all on the line repeatedly. My work was a service to myself, and gained gladly I did from it. Through it came personality. through it stare, Sean. In moments of forgetfulness and of remembering again. With no one else to remember for or to forget for but yourself. Or to share the inner workings of your head. Or to live in your body with you. Unending that cycle. Handed relationships with all things. Things that you must now stand by or stand away from. What are the points of access with the growing world from your glowing person? How do you care for them? And how do you know what it is you should care for?
By Wisława Szymborska, a recipient of a Nobel Prize in Literature in 1996, described as a Mozart of literature and poetry, and she recently died in 2012. It's called Nothing Twice. Nothing can ever happen twice. In consequence, the sorry fact is that we arrive here improvised and live without a chance to practice. Even if there is no one dumber, if you're the planet's biggest dunce, you can't repeat the class in summer. This course is only offered once. No day copies yesterday. No two nights will teach what bliss is. In precisely the same way, with precisely the same kisses. One day, perhaps some idle tongue mentions your name by accident. I feel as if a rose were flung into the room, all hue and scent. The next day, though you're here with me, I can't help looking at the clock. A rose. What could that be? Is it a flower or a rock? Why do we treat the fleeting day with so much needless fear and sorrow? It's in its nature not to stay. Today is always gone tomorrow. With smiles and kisses, we prefer to seek accord beneath our star. Although we're different, we concur. Just as two drops of water are.